Monday morning, and welcome to Sports Talk. What a great day. College football starts for real. A whole slate of college football today. I know what I'm going to be doing. I'm pretty sure I know what Kurt and Kendall's going to be doing today, as we do each and every Saturday, especially us big Orange fans. Everybody's in orange in here. And looking forward to today. Hope you enjoyed Coast to Coach right before us. Coast to Coach with Doug Matthews and Dave McGinnis as they break down the SEC each and every week, and they'll break down Tennessee's opponent and give you their insight to what's going on around UT football and SEC football. The Tigers improved to 3-0 last night with a big win over South Gibson, 48-18. More importantly, they get a region win. First region game, get a region win, and they're 1-0 and in the league. Coming up in just a few minutes, Coach Matthew Smith will join in. We'll discuss last night's game, get his take on the game. A hard-fought game, and one that the Tigers looked like world beaters at times. Probably one of the best offensive showings of the year, especially in the first half. Also, we'll take a look at next week. It's Go Gold Week. Memphis East will be in town, and we'll welcome them into the jungle. Like I said, first full week of college football. Tennessee opens up in Nashville right after our show. The Vol Network will take over, and then they'll lead you up to the kickoff at 11 a.m. And you can hear it all right here on 93.5 FM WKWX. FM.com, WKWX app, and if you have Spectrum, who knows if you can watch it or not, but you can listen. And then we'll take a look at the SEC schedule, scores from last night, and a lot more. So, Kirk, big win last night, a very good football team coming in, a team that we didn't know a lot about when they were coming in, and then we got the word they had a couple of key players hurt. They were picked right up there at the top with us in our region, you know, to finish one or two. And good football team, though. And the thing is, the three teams that we've played, even NBA, all have had some really good athletes. They've shown us a lot of speed and things like that moving forward.
Well, like compared to last year, this is a pretty seasoned Hardin County team after three games, because they've been able to see a lot of talent, a lot of different looks, quarterbacks that can run, quarterbacks that can throw, big offensive and defensive lines. I mean, we played a lot of really good athletes in the last three games, and been able to match that intensity on the defensive side of the ball, been able to pretty much shut teams down. And the offensive side of the ball, which we're going to talk to about to Coach Smith, is it's as good an execution as I've seen out of an offense. I mean, it's just from all skill positions on the field, they're making plays, and the offensive line is giving their quarterback time and enough holes to be able to really bust some explosive run plays too. So, I mean, the offensive side of the ball has been – you know, it's funny to have a defensive coach and your offense is good. You know, yeah. that's pretty much a plus-plus.
Yeah, I was listening to a sports show up there at Knoxville, and they were talking about the Florida game, for instance, and how offensively they just didn't look very good, and they haven't. You know, Muschamp was there, and what they were talking about with Muschamp is he's a defensive guy, defensive coordinator. He was happy if they went 3-and-out and punting because they got back on defense. That's what he liked, his defense. So, you know, they had a lot of games where they just scored 10 points.
But yeah, you have a defense that scores more points than your
offense. Yeah, exactly. All right, Coach Smith will join in. Kendall will be with us here in just a little bit. We'll get his perspective on last night's game as well, and I'm sure we'll want to talk a little Tennessee football before we get out of here. This morning, Coach Smith will join in. We'll talk about last night's game with South Gibson, big region win, and then also what's ahead for the Tigers coming up next week. We'll be back right after this.
You're as cold as ice.
to sacrifice our love. Welcome back to Sports Talk right here on 93.5 FM. I'm Steve Carnell along with Kurt Carroll, Kendall Wackison, Coach Smith in the house here at the Sports Talk studio. We're talking Hardin County football. Hardin County gets a big win last night, 48-18 over South Gibson. But before we get to Coach Smith, and I don't know if Coach knows this, David Long sent me a text last night. Coach Lee Hooper lost his grandfather last night, and when I was talking to him, I was asking if his dad and mom were coming, and he said his grandfather was real sick, and they didn't know if he was going to make it the next few days. But apparently before the game, he lost his grandfather. They didn't tell Lee till after the game. So, our prayers go out to Lee and especially Tommy and Selena and Alan. Alan, his brother that lives here, that played at Hardin County too. So, even though Lee's at South Gibson, he's still a Tiger at heart and a part of our community, coached here, played here. Our prayers go out to Lee and Tommy. Tommy's a good guy. I enjoyed him being here. Hated to see them leave, and Selena too. But anyway, just wanted to get that out there. So you can keep them in your prayers as they move forward from this. Matthew, big win last night. Region win, first region game. A team that we haven't seen ever. No history with them. They come in a highly anticipated game around West Tennessee. Unfortunately for them, last week they lose their quarterback. They lose their running back. We kind of catch them a little shorthanded a little bit, which is, it's just football. It's just sports the way it happens. But great atmosphere last night. Difference of last week, about 50 degrees and humidity. So a really great night for football last night.
Yeah, it was. Weather was good. Great atmosphere in the tailgate area when we came through there. First region game, big game, a lot of implications on the line for the future of both teams, and just a good night at the stadium last night.
Well, I mean, it was these first three ball games, we always come out, I don't know how they're going to be this year. You really don't. It's always a different chemistry and a different setup, new players in position. And I can't help but talk about the offensive side of the ball because it's about as good a execution that I've seen out of an offense overall. I'm talking about from receivers, backs, offensive line, quarterback play. It's all been terrific. And I just kind of wanted to pick your brain. I mean, did you know the offense was going to be as prolific as it has been in these first three games?
Well, I mean, I think we've done some things that are well from an execution standpoint. I've said just about every week I've been pleased with our offensive line, and everything starts there, in the run game, pass pro starts up front, line of scrimmage game. And those guys have had, a good off season, good summer. Really some guys had to step up last night because we had lost a starter last week that was out. Hopefully get him back here soon in Caleb Murphy and with an ankle in last week's game. And then Garrett Sipes went out fairly early last night on a play, kind of got rolled into from behind, which can happen to the offensive lineman from time to time. And Ryan Brown had to come in. So really our whole right side guard and tackle there were – new guys last night. But yeah, I thought we held in there and did some good things offensively last night. Had some explosive plays in the game that were big,
I would say. And one thing I want to ask you, because I know the IQ of your quarterback is above average, and in the schemes that you run now, or all these teams run now in the RPO game, there's a lot of decision making that is left to the quarterback, but I don't know that we've had one that has had as much authority to make decisions on the field as Carter is doing this year. And I may be wrong. I just wanted you to touch on that. I mean, how much authority does he have out there to maybe check out of something or realign the offense based on the defense? I mean, how much do you give him compared to maybe other quarterbacks in the past?
Well, he does a lot, especially, you know, senior year, and he's progressed in this as time has gone by. But, you know, he checks all his protections out there, starts there. You know, he's the guy that's going to get hit. So
he wants to get it right.
He needs to get it right and has done a remarkable job of, you know, people have come in against us, and it's not exactly like we see on film. You know, they're trying to blitz and trying to pressure him. Those guys, and South Gibson certainly did that last night, but giving different looks than we've seen scouted, and he's been able to manage that and know where the pressure's coming from and know who he's got to get the line to slide to and those kind of things. Those are things that, you know, go unnoticed, go unseen unless you're in the program, and he does a lot of that.
It's why the execution is better. I mean – overall, the offense looks like an organism working together, and I guess that's what I was getting at, where a lot of times, you know, you throw a nine route 40 yards downfield, and you just got a good enough receiver that makes a play and then runs it in for a touchdown. That's a lot different from that's a wing and a prayer kind of throw, you know, and you're able to do that. I mean, if you got the athletes to do it, but this is just – kind of like a machine with everybody and all the parts moving at the same time and in the right places.
Well, we knew last night that, you know, South Gibson, very good in the front seven. You know, got a couple guys, one committed to Ole Miss right now, number six was. Nine's got offers by Division I schools. The other outside linebacker, good inside linebacker, good up front. They had a defensive end that looked as good as the two outside backers, you know, and so we knew they were very good in the front seven. It was going to be difficult to get the run game established, which we had some good runs and an explosive run, a big one, but we knew we were going to have to throw the ball and try to – we thought safeties were a matchup that we liked. Corners were pretty good, but we thought we could take advantage of them. They played off a lot in – film, but last night when you get up in her face, and so you know, we knew we were gonna have to make some plays in the passing game, and we were able to do that.
Well, Steve said he didn't know anything about this team because he never played them before. Did you have any film or any
thing? Oh yeah, we trade film, and
I said history.
Yeah, we had
no history.
We had three games on them, you know, film wise. So we had studied them, but. Exactly right. I mean, we'd never played before, and knew that, you know, they had good players and big, strong team. They did lose their quarterback, their starting quarterback last week, and he was certainly a run threat. He'd made some plays with his legs. Kind of reminded me of not quite as fast as Cal was, but that kind of quarterback that would run counters and different things. It called run plays for him,
right.
You know, and had made some plays with his legs, certainly, and that was a big loss for him. Running back, I couldn't tell a ton of difference from the kid they played last night. I mean, they were rotating both of them
right.
Anyway other than in getting reps, but quarterback was definitely a loss for him in that. But, you know, they were good overall team for whatever it's worth. You know, the preseason – people that pick, media, I guess you guys, whoever.
We don't pick.
They had them rated up there.
Yeah, they all call me and Steve want to know what we think.
Y'all are in that classification. Y'all are media.
Yeah, so. I don't know what we are.
I'm putting y'all in there.
I was interested, you know, these first three games, can you remember a season where the first two, three football games that you have played that have been the teams have been on the level, especially like Giles County and then last night? I mean, you've had a lot thrown at your kids in the first three ball games, especially the offensive line. We saw a lot of different looks last night. They show one look, jump in another look. I mean, you've seen a lot in three games your kids have.
They have, and coaching staff has. I think we've done a nice job of adjusting. Coach Seaton, I heard him tell the offensive line in a meeting, he said, we've seen every defense imaginable, but yeah. they seem to create new ones each and every week, you know. But we've done a good job of picking those things up and being able to execute.
Well, the one thing, Steve, that I wanted to say was their quarterback may have made a difference, but he didn't play defense. And you hung 40-something on him. So, I mean, even with him there, they're going to have to manufacture 40-something points to be in that ball game.
Yeah, exactly. Let's take a timeout. We're talking to Coach Matthew Smith. We'll be back right after this.
All right. Here we go. 1, 2, 3, and. So take me down the road that's a little bit windy to a place they still put sugar in their iced tea. Where the women are fine and the love is fair. Yeah, driver, you can drive me off anywhere.
Hey, driver, pull on. Welcome back to Sports Talk right here on 93.5 FM. I'm Steve Cornell along with Kirk Carroll. Kendall Atkinson is in here along with Coach Matthew Smith. We're talking about last night's big win over South Gibson, 48-18, and Matthew, you were talking about your offensive line has seen about everything. Defensively, we've seen about every style of offense, too, in these first three games. We've seen one of kind of confusion, but with really good speed in NBA. Last week, that was a really good football team with a good running quarterback. And a good tailback and a couple of good receivers, and then we get kind of the same thing this week. So, like we said, offensively you've seen a lot, but defensively you've seen a lot too, and y'all stepped up to the plate all three games.
Yeah, and you know, I defensively certainly made some plays, and I think we're continuing to progress. We've got to be a little mentally sharper. We've had some busts here and there that have given up some explosive plays that we want to get corrected. But, you know, I like our intensity. I like our effort with the way that we're playing defense. I think we're playing fast and you know, getting to the ball, tackling fairly well. So those are good things. We biggest thing that needs correcting is we've got to cut out the minimal mistakes that, you know, give up explosive touchdown plays.
One thing last night, if you know what little there was to dwell on that was negative, but they did get to our edge. There was something happening with them running, you know, kind of the power sweep on the edge, and they caught us there a couple of times for big gains.
Yeah, those were new plays. Hadn't seen them on film with the motion, and what we were trying to do when they were motioning to the H-back side to slide, you also saw them motion. Where the H-back was lined up on the same side as the motion was coming from. They were coming back to it, you right. know, so they were trying to get us to slide and, right. and get us outflanked the other way. So those were just things that, you know, we were trying to adjust on the fly. They happened fast. We weren't getting slid enough to the ones that were going into the H-back.
They're outrunning you to the corner, basically.
They're outrunning. And really, we got an outside backer out there trying to make a play in two holes, and we should have get the inside slid out there a little bit more so he can run and force it to the outside. And you know, those are things. Nice job of trying to scheme us by Coach Hooper there. And of course, again, he was with us for five years or so.
He had insider trading knowledge.
Yeah, he knew a lot of the scheme and those kind of things. But we got settled in and we're able to make some plays.
One other thing, too, that – you know, it was a concern. I'm sure you know it too. Is the special teams? You're having to go a couple of hundred yards further in a ball game to score touchdowns. We're giving the ball up at close to the 40, and I know you don't like that.
On the say it again. What's the question?
On the kickoffs, you can't be happy with letting them start their drives around the 40-yard line. I mean, consistently.
Yeah, some of those kicks, you know, we want to get placed a little bit better, but, you know, we don't kick it deep a ton. I think, you know, my deal is, again, make an offense drive, 60 yards. Don't ever give up a touchdown on the kickoff team. And you'll never change my mind about that.
Well, you know, I agree.
I'd be more apt to go to onside kicking more before I go to deep.
Well, I'm trying to think of something negative to talk about, but there wasn't much in that game last night that was negative.
No. But like you said, I noticed last night we kicked it deeper a lot more last night. It was at just by design all week. You decided, hey, we're just going to kick it at them. Or, you know, usually you're trying to find an open spot.
Not really. Some of them got away from us and wasn't called necessarily.
Okay.
Well, I wanted to ask you something, too, if I saw this right. Now, did I see him, one of his pooch kicks, he kicked with his straight toe, like a straight toe kick instead of soccer style?
No, that one to the left, it looks like that a little bit more because he has to get over to it, but he's still trying to soccer style it.
Well, and I was fixing to say that's pretty unusual to see a guy switch from soccer style to straight toe, but it sure looked like it on one of those kicks. But yeah, I mean that was one of the things that we saw is we really had a longer field to play on, which goes back to the offense. I guess it looked good in the stats because you're gonna have a lot more yards than they do in a ball game if you score. Special teams.
You know, one of the other adjustments that we had to make at halftime in the special teams game was with punt. You know, about got in the first half. Of course, I hadn't seen this on film, but they overloaded six to one side, which, you know, changes a punt protection up. Even ours in the tight punt formation, and about got the first two. Jake did a real nice job of getting it off. Mm-hmm. You know, first one they got roughed on, which we got the ball back and ended up leading to a score. There we took the ball and went ahead and scored with it. But you know, had to make that adjustment. The second half is much better getting the balls off. Had much better yardage in the punt game.
Well, and there were more penalties in that game, both sides, and some I saw you would like to have argued a little bit longer about. You didn't seem too happy about some of the calls in the ball game, but there was a lot of penalty yard, and we overcame them. I mean, that was the other thing too. Second down, you get put in a, you know, a second 15, second 20, and then on third down, you're still converting on the first downs. But I know the penalties were a thorn in your side last night.
It was frustrating to us, and we had to settle in offensive line wise. They were yelling. Of course, they again know our snap count is go, is on a go call is what we use, and their stem call was go too.
Oh, just so happened
should have been a penalty.
Yeah,
because they're simulating the snap count, and couldn't get it called last night.
Well, there was one last night that we didn't understand, and you made your point known because a lot of times I like to look down and watch you and see your reaction to certain things. But I think we had got it down to about the 7. It's when Garrett got hurt. We get him off the field, and then it seemed like within 10 seconds we get a delay that backed us up 5. I mean, that was a big play at that moment.
He would have had to chop the play in. The referee would have had to chop play in before we got off field.
Yeah, we talked about that going into halftime, yeah. Him and I, and he explained to me that I was off the field, and he chopped it in. I only had 25 seconds, and I explained some things to him as well. So
well, I can see that you were. I didn't want to go there, but I can see that you were. But
let's go in a little deeper. You know, we really want to know what you said.
Well, yeah. I just had an explanation.
Yeah. So. Well, I mean, you know, the kid's not off the field yet. It wasn't if it was 10 seconds. It was crazy. But I mean, at that point, you know, we're looking to score. We got the momentum, and then next thing you know, instead of first and goal from, you know, the 5 or second or third, whatever it was at that point, you know, it's back at the 10, 11 yard line.
Yeah, it was a tough one.
Yeah.
Well, there's one thing too in that game. If I had been 10 years old and watched that ball game today, I would be pretending I was Cam Heyman. Is it Cam? Is that
Cam? There? Yeah.
Yeah.
Cam, correct.
Because he had a game. He had a dream game last night.
Cam, he was really focused and has played well for us this year. And, you know, again, a kid that hadn't really played running back, played receiver for us last year, and just felt like his body, you know, fits the running back position, and still can throw the ball to him out of the backfield and do some things to get him the ball through the air. But he's made some really good plays for us on the offensive side of the ball, had a big 80-yard explosive run last night. And defensively, too, has played a lot more there for us, as he's one of our better athletes. He's strong, twitchy guy, and found the ball last night a lot. I threw it to him three times there on the defensive
side. We got to thinking he might have been one of their receivers. He caught as many downfield passes as they did. The Oski tip drill, I mean, that was a beautiful thing. He looked like he was taking a rebound off the rim. You know, there's high point, and then there's, like, really high point. And he made that play and knew what to do with it when his feet hit the ground, too. So, I mean, everything he had in his – bag last night, he pulled out. He played looked like he just came ready to play in that ball game.
He did. And like I say, locked in, focused, and certainly has played a lot of football for us, as a lot of our seniors have, and knew the importance of that game and had a great game for us.
How tough is that switch for a player going from, you know, basically primarily being a receiver last year, going to tailback? Tailback's a whole different animal than playing receiver. You've got to be able to see the holes and see where you want to go and follow blocks and things like that. So a kid like that, how tough is it on the coaching staff to get him to understand, you know, how you want him to execute each run and hitting the holes and going north and south?
Well, you're right. I mean, it is a difference, obviously, in the position and what you're asked to do. Coach Ivey's Josh Ivey does a great job with our running backs, and Cam has made the adjustment well. I mean, he's, like I say, been able to make things, explosive things happen for us in the run game, and has caught some balls for us as well, too. So a lot of good production from him. And, you know, it's an easy selling point as a coach. You know, receivers, top receivers on a good night, you know, get the ball four or five times a game. We spread it around pretty good. Running back's going to touch it 10, 11, 12 times a game because we split time there.
So not hard to convince that.
Yeah. Which one you want, you know, if you're an athletic guy and want the ball in your hands. Yeah. So pretty easy selling point.
All right, the Tigers defeat South Gibson 48-18. They've got Memphis East coming to town on Friday. It's go. We'll talk to Coach Matthew Smith about that. Also, we'll take a look at some scores from the region last night as well. You're listening to Sports Talk on 93.5 FM. We'll be back right after this. Welcome back to Sports Talk right here on 93.5 FM. I'm Steve Cornell along with Kurt Carroll. I think my shoulder just went out of place. And Kendall Atkinson. That's when you're getting old, when you're just sitting here doing nothing. I was just sliding this slide up, and I thought my shoulder went out of place. We're talking with Coach Matthew Smith. Tigers get a big win last night. They improved to 3-0 overall, 1-0 in the region. Let's take a look at the region last night. Crockett County defeated Lexington 37-10, Southside 36, Liberty, nothing. Obion, 35. Northside, 25. McKenzie, 29. Chester County, 12. The team we're playing next week, Sheffield, 14. East, 12. And other scores of interest, Huntington, 58. Adamsville, 21. And then I put this score down because you're talking about long travel. Alcoa played in Tawnyville, New York, up around Staten Island, New York last night for their whatever team this was. They went up there and beat them 44-6 for their home opener. But that's quite the travel, isn't it, Matthew, to go from East Tennessee to New York City to go play a football game. But anyway, You know, the region scores have been pretty interesting the first 3 weeks, looking around some of the teams in the region. But Memphis East coming to town, I know it's a special night. We talked a lot about it last night's Go Gold. And Go Gold is a special night at Jim Carroll Stadium. Has a lot of meaning to it for the student body, the teachers, and everybody that's involved with the Bell family and that new Aaron and what all that stands for. So it's going to be a great night.
Absolutely. You know, it's one of my favorite times of the year when we get the opportunity to help out with that cause and support that cause. And the Bells have obviously done an amazing job throughout the years and with the T-shirt sales. But, you know, just to look up in the stadium and see all the support there and people wearing the gold T-shirts. And, you know, I hope to fill the stadium next week with them. And if you haven't been out, I encourage you to come out for this one and help support this cause as we raise money to fight childhood cancer.
Well, Memphis East is a team that we're very familiar with throughout the years. They were a powerhouse over in Memphis for a number of years, and they've kind of slipped a little bit, them and Melrose, but I think Melrose is kind of making their way back up now, some of the traditional powerhouses over there. So what do you know about Memphis East? And I know we're going to see some fast kids, some athletic kids, and it's going to be an interesting game because it's been a while since we've seen them.
Well, and I don't know a lot. I got to see them a little bit this summer at just a 7-on-7 tournament that we went to over at Memphis. They were there. I do know this. One of their former players that in those powerhouse days that played in the NFL, Cassius Vaughn, is back as their head coach. They just hired him this year and got to talk with him some over there. And so I'm sure that, you know, he's trying to get the program resurrected and back to where it was and working hard to do that. So they'll be coming into town, as you said. We'll be athletic, have some fast guys. Haven't seen them on film. We've got some film in, so going to the office here in a few minutes. But certainly will be a team that we need to prepare hard for and get ready for this week.
Well, we've got a spy over there. You can always – McKenzie, my son, you know, he started teaching there. He was tickled to death to get that job. East is a really a good school in Memphis, and he's teaching there. And the first person that he met when they hired him for his orientation was Cassius Vaughn. And he told him, he said, "Hey," and Max said, "Hey, I know who you are." And he said, "You ended my football career."
And so in one play.
Yeah, in one play. So, I mean, he had something in common with him, but on the bad side. And so, yeah, I don't know anything. He hadn't said much. The only thing he told me that he knows about the football is, he said, there's a lot of athletes walking up down this hall. And yeah. So, you know, they're going to have that.
Absolutely.
Well, Matthew, like I said, a big win. You go 3-0. You get your first region win of the season, 1-0 in the season. I know it's important to you, all region wins, but to get that first one. So before you get out of here, kind of summarize the first three games of your team and what you're excited about and maybe what you need to work on.
Well, you know, I've been pleased with you know, our effort and our intensity. I think we've got kids that you know, want to compete and are competitors and intrinsically motivated from the inside, and they come to play on Friday nights. And I've been pleased with the way we've flown around and made plays out there. And certainly as a coach, you want to continue to improve on execution. But when you don't have to coach the effort and intensity as much, you can focus on the execution. And I think our team has made strides that, hey, we know what they're going to bring on a Friday night effort wise. And so it's just a matter of focusing mentally and getting better week in and week out from an execution standpoint, and continue to bring that same effort, intensity, and grit that we have about us.
before you get out of here, we're going to go with the SEC schedule, but since you're close to this one, Ole Miss opens up today. I know your dad's going over there, and I think your mom's going with him, and some of the family as Hudson will be on the sideline, hopefully on the field today.
Yeah, I think, you know, he may get some time today. He's had a good fall camp. Seen good reports out of him. Talked to Leslie about it several times, and you know, he's been able to stay healthy, which is a good thing this fall, and he's made some plays throughout fall camp. So hopefully he gets in there today and gets some time as they open up their season.
What's his number that we can watch out for?
87, I believe.
Yeah, I think that's right. That's what he was. Yeah, 87. Yeah, and then we don't want to forget, too.
As far as I know, unless they've changed
that's
it.
That's a trick question. Yeah.
Caden Pope tonight, one of your players, transferred to New Mexico. They'll be at Texas A&M tonight.
Yeah, and, you know, talk to Cam. I have not had the opportunity to talk to Caden since he's gotten there and gotten rolling in fall camp and stuff, but I talked to Cam about it, asked him last week how he was doing stuff. He was getting reps with in the top group, and so hopefully he'll get some reps and get out there tonight as well.
Yeah, that'll be on TV tonight. I think that game, let me see, is at 6 p.m. tonight, ESPN, for those that get ESPN. It'll be on tonight at 6 p.m.
Yeah, that was I was a few minutes late getting here because I was – downloading YouTube TV, you know.
Oh, were you?
Yeah. I've got my 14-day free trial.
Yeah, and well, good for you. You'll get to watch some football tonight with the rest of us.
Yeah, I get to watch Tennessee play. I mean, that is irritating as all get out.
Well, you know, we don't do that. You can watch the Tigers play each and every week. we don't do that to people, you know. So we appreciate our sponsorship there, and had some great views last night. You know, close to 800 views last night on that game, and it was a big game. Of course, Matthew had called me. A lot of the South Gibson folks that wasn't going to be able to make it down were on there. A lot of interaction I've seen. You know, they can chat with each other on the thing. And
what did they have to chat
well,
about?
Early. You know, it was early. But anyway, Matthew, I appreciate you coming in. Congratulations on the win last night. And look forward to seeing you next Saturday with hopefully another win under our belt as Memphis East will come to town. The Tiger tailgate party's at 5, Tiger Walk at 5:55. It's go-go night. And then we'll be on the air at 6:30 with the Central Bank pregame show, and then the kickoff set for 7 p.m.
All right, thanks for having me.
All right, enjoy your football Saturday. I don't know if you're going to watch a lot of football. I guess you'll watch Ole Miss tonight anyway, or try to.
Watch a lot of East.
Yeah, a lot of watch of East today. But we'll take a timeout. Kendall will join us. We'll get his perspective on the game last night. And also, we'll look at the SEC schedule and Tennessee coming up versus Virginia at 11. This is Sports Talk on 93.5 FM.
This has been.
Welcome back to Sports Talk right here on 93.5 FM. I'm Steve Cornell along with Kurt Carroll. We'll bring Kendall Atkinson in. And Kendall, last night, very impressive win by the Tigers. And I know from your standpoint, you're watching the quarterback a lot and Carter's play and his progression so far through these first three games. We talked a lot in that game last night how – his vision and seeing the field and seeing – I get – you know, they talk about how things slow down for players, and especially at the quarterback position. I think we're seeing that. He is in such control of I don't want to be – just his emotions, but of what he's seeing. There's no panic. It's just, okay, I've got rush. I'm going to roll out. It's something that he's not used to doing a lot of, but – I mean, you're seeing a really well-groomed quarterback that's in his senior year that's played a lot of football is the only way I can describe it.
Well, I just think back to when I was, you know, just graduated. I was at Bethel playing baseball, and I remember thinking to myself, I wish I had the mentality that I had right now when I was a senior playing. Yeah. And it's just what you said. I had the luxury of having Cal and David and Will Shelton and even Jordan Lambert. I had some really good wide receivers that my mentality at the time was just, I know he's going to win. I drop back and throw it. And Carter is, he can do that, but it's not that. He is a very, his vision and just letting things flow. He knows that if this is not looking good right off the bat, this is where I'm going. His mindset is just remarkable. And you can see it by the way he just lets things unfold. He's poised. It's fun because it's a different brand.
Well, another thing too about it is if you've got somebody with that much command, you should be in every game. I mean, if you've got a quarterback that can carry, you know, and do that, there's going to be opportunities always, and it doesn't matter who you play. You know, it's Tennessee, Alabama last year. You know, Alabama with all those great athletes and everything, Tennessee with half that. But Hooker, you know, was performing at a high level, and he just kept them in the game. You know, and it's kind of the same thing here. And Carter's deal is last night he was good at the things that he's not always good at. I mean, he's not going to run any 4.44s. And so he has to pick the rush up. But there's things like pre-snap read. You had that, you know. That game last week, one play in particular, is we're down around the 25-yard line. And from our vision in the press box, it just lined up to where we could see it. He has Weeks, you know, and split out at tight end. And he runs the seam, and you've got a safety in the middle of the field, over the center, over the quarterback, and you got a linebacker who's out on the edge, and he's picking up Weeks when Weeks comes off the line. And you can see Carter in that play. He takes that snap. He knows he's wanting to throw to Weeks based on the alignment. His first look is to his right, and that safety takes a step to his left to match what he's seeing the eyes on the quarterback. And you got the linebacker dropping back into coverage in that zone and sliding toward Weeks. And when Weeks gets to about 2 or 3 yard line, still running into the end zone on that seam, you can see Carter come back to him, which I'm sure that was who he was thinking was going to be primary to start with. And he just looked at that safety over for a step or two to hold him. And then he releases the ball and Weeks back still to the quarterback. And he throws it with the right amount of touch that's going to give him time to get 2 yards in the end zone, look back, and the ball's going to be there. And the safety can't get there, and he throws it soft over the linebacker because he can't throw it on the line. And all of that unfolding in the matter of 2.5 seconds. And it's just fun to watch that. When they know what they're – it's fun to watch a man chop wood who really is good at chopping wood. Same thing as him playing quarterback.
Yeah, well, that's what I was going to ask him. I remember, Kendall, we played – I mean, we were doing a deal out there at the high school 1 year when Rivers was a senior, and Kirk asked him, he said, what have you got to do in that 2.5 or 3 seconds that you have to work with? I ask you the same thing. When you're the quarterback, you take the snap. The quickness of the way you have to process everything you see to make the right play.
Yeah. 85% of it's before you take the snap.
Right.
The rest is just kind of react. And, you know, the more advanced you get in regard, like, to where Carter's at, is it doesn't even compare to where I was. I mean, as much as my pride would, I'd like
were
to say,
you
oh,
doing,
yeah.
Were like Matthew's talking about, he's calling all the protections up front and stuff like that.
I tell you this much, is if Matthew's comfortable with him shifting protection,
right,
the mindset and letting the, you know, the play unfold, that's the least of their worries.
Right.
Yeah.
I mean –
That's collegiate.
Yeah, what he's doing, he's playing a collegiate level mentality, and he can do it because, I mean, he's probably watched as much film as Matthew. I mean, he knows it. he's just been born into it. And that's how come all these college coaches love high school kids who daddy's coached, because they're all
– you got no choice.
No, I mean, they were raised between the 5 and 10 yard line. I mean, it just – they know football, and this is no exception. But he has the talent. Things in that game last night, he makes a throw, and I think it was a post route, and we had four wide, and he threw the post route, and I can't remember who it was that was running the post, but he was blanketed. They had good coverage. Guy right on him, even had a hand in his jersey. And Carter sees that, and he leads him by about 5 yards, but throws it soft so he has to run to the football, which he's thrown other post routes where he puts it on a line and just hits him in the chest. This one was laid up soft and to the middle of the field. And what it was he was giving his receiver time to get some separation. He threw him open into the middle of the field with a soft throw that he could run to, instead of trying to put it on the line where the guy was close enough to get his hand out there and knock the ball down. So, I mean, he's able to control where he wants to put the football, and he rarely throws an uncatchable ball.
Well, it's kind of a headache for a defensive coordinator, because we're going to be pretty balanced. But when you see us on film now, we can run the football. We got two really good tailbacks. We're good up front with our line. We're good outside. Our receivers are good. They're finding the opening spots, and you got a quarterback running. So it makes it, you know, picky poison. And they saw a lot. They saw everything last night.
Well, and look what they did last night. I mean, they started out playing that 3-4, 3-3, however they set it up. They may have had an extra DB because of our throwing game. But they start out in that pretty kind of a loose defense, you know, linebackers still playing out in space. But by the third quarter, they're blitzing every play, because that 6 men they have in the box is not working. You know, that's just not getting it done. And they're wanting to put more pressure to get on the quarterback. And they just kept adding guys, and they start, you know, trying to come up with different types of blitzes to put pressure on them. And none of it worked. I mean, we just, you know, took care of business.
Yeah, Kendall, your boy Adam Harris had another great game last night. He's got a motor that's unbelievable.
He's wearing a fitting number, too, 23. You know, he plays nose tackle, and he plays like Steven Rich. I mean, he's on these shovel sweeps, toss sweeps, right and left. He's somehow, some way, he's the first guy out there. It doesn't make any sense. He's just a full throttle. He's the guy. If you're on that defense, you feed off of him. I mean, because he's all over the place.
He played offense last night, too. I don't know if y'all noticed that a little bit last night. Came in that kind of double tights formation, stuff like that.
If we start bringing him on offense.
Well, I mean, somebody said it last night in the press box. I don't know who it was, but he's just a football player. I think you could put him at tailback and defensive end. I think he would just be a football player. I mean, he just – born to play football and never slows down from beginning to end.
All right. Hey, let's take Clark, let's take a legal ID, bring it back to us, and we'll wrap it up here from Sports Talk. We'll take a look at the SEC schedule. That's coming your way right after this. All right. Welcome back to Sports Talk. Had to make it legal there. The SEC schedule is here, a full slate of games coming up in the SEC this week. Western Carolina at Arkansas at noon. Mercer at Ole Miss, of course, Hudson Wolf watch. That's today at 1 p.m. UMass at Auburn, Hugh Freeze first game, 2:30 today. Southeast Louisiana at Mississippi State at 3 p.m. UT Martin gets to start their season at Georgia, Between the Hedges at 5 p.m. New Mexico at Texas A&M at 6. You know, Caden Pope there for Hardin County Tigers. Hopefully we'll get to see Caden play as well. MTSU at Alabama at 6:30. Alabama names their quarterback last night. North Carolina at South Carolina, 6:30. Alabama A&M at Vandy, who cares, 6 p.m. Ball State at Kentucky, who cares, at 11 a.m. And then our game, Tennessee and Virginia, coming up right after we get off the air here with the Vol Network. Scores from other games in the SEC last week: Vandy 35, Hawaii 28. Thursday night, Utah 24, Florida 11, and Mizzou beat South Dakota 35-10. So let's look at the SEC schedule. Tennessee in Nashville with Virginia, and everybody is ready to see what Milton can do and what he can bring to the table, and the receivers and the running backs. We do have some injuries, though, we have to deal with as well.
You know, one thing that just tickled me was hearing their head coach, not only the stuff going on between him and our athletic director, but he opens his press conference by saying how big our defensive line is. And I'm thinking, you're worried about our defensive line. You better worry about stopping our offense. I mean, we're going to put up points. I mean, it's going to be fun.
I'll tell you something, though. I am interested in seeing the defense. Defense is kind of, you know, that was their weak spot last year. They had to outscore people to win games. But this defense should be better. They're deeper.
Veterans.
And they're healthy. Yeah. I don't know, other than Simmons. I think Simmons
is
defensive tackle is going to be out. That was a major player. But I'm anxious to see the defense stop people. I mean, because if their defense can stop people, they're going to be hard beat.
Well, David Long, our buddy that comes by from time to time, gives me a lot of information, came by the office, and he said he had talked to Latrell, and Latrell had told him, he said that first seven on defense, defensive line, they can rotate out. He said they're really good, and they're really nasty.
And then our linebacker, Beasley, he finished the year off against Clemson. He single-handedly had a huge game, and so – you bring in this Carter kid, the freshman, I think, and even the other freshman linebacker.
Well, you got the guy from BYU,
too,
the transfer.
Yeah,
can't quit talking about that Peely.
From
BYU. Yeah. So, I'm just hoping that the defense, it's a lot easier as a fan if you think your defense can stop them every time they got the ball.
You're not kidding.
And then because everybody's going to go, now we've got the ball. Yeah.
Well, the back end is where they're worried about. And I did hear Coach Banks, I was listening to Ball Calls that comes on Wednesday night here on 93, talk about they're going to play a lot of people today, hopefully, especially on the defensive side of the ball. They got some young kids they really want to take a look at. That can play. They just need to learn, obviously. But offensively, we're going to play three or four receivers. Brew McCoy, they were talking about how great he looks now. Lost some weight. He looks like a round one NFL player. You got Squirrel White, a little bitty guy, 5'8", 5'9", but can fly. You got another transfer a Thornton kid. He's 6'5", slot
huge
guy. And then, of course,
Keaton
on the outside. So that's probably your four rotation. And then you've got your tailbacks with Small and Wright. I think Sampson has been banged up. I'm sure he'll dress. But
I want to see touching ball is Cam Seldon.
Yeah.
I mean, when a guy is not a position, they just say athlete.
Yeah.
And when you're an athlete,
those are the ones you watch out for.
Yeah, that athlete. It's kind of like old Cobb.
Randall Cobb. Played at Kentucky.
Played at Kentucky and then went on. I mean, he just to do everything.
Oh,
punt return, kickoff return, receiver, running back, quarterback.
Yeah.
So, I mean, he played a little bit of all of it. And I think that Cam Seldon's kind of in that mode.
I'm looking forward to it. Man, this is the best time of the year. I love it. First full week of college football. I'll be up all night. I'll be on till the last game. I'm just a degenerate.
So. You're really into that South Carolina, North Carolina game, aren't you?
I want to see the Battle of the Carolinas.
Well, I've got YouTube TV. I don't know how long Spectrum's going to stay in the household, but anybody that takes, you're talking about some riled people. You get on Twitter and see what they're saying about Spectrum and Disney doing that. Some bad timing.
Oh, it was perfect timing the way they wanted it done. Yeah, that's what it is. Next week, Memphis East in town. It's gold. If you hadn't got your gold shirts or you want to donate, you can call up there at the high school. They can lead you in the right direction or get a hold of Chris or Christy Bell. And Memphis East will be in town. Airtime 6:30. Kickoff time is at 7 p.m. And then of course the Tiger Walk at 5:55, and let's see, tailgate party at 5. And real quick, we'll talk about just real quick. Jack Gray last night. Jack was on. I meant to say this to Coach Smith, but Jack comes in for Wes Blankenship last night. Had a huge game. Was a five, six catches last night in that game. So I wanted to make sure we mentioned that. It's hard to mention everybody, but what a huge game for him, especially coming from the defensive side.
Well, he also fair caught a punt.
He did do that.
And, you know, we gave a collective thank you in the press box, you know, prevented any of that punt roll because about 20-yard line, that ball could have easily gone, you know, down inside the 10. So, good job, Jack.
Yeah, and I mean, he just did what a veteran does. When somebody goes out, he jumps right in and does, you know, just does his job. That's what we need him to do.
Yeah, we're doing this show like my brain works. We're just jumping from subject to subject.
Say, we're back to
it. Yeah. We went back to that. Squirrel. But anyway, Tennessee coming up. Stay tuned for the Vol Network as they'll lead you up to the kickoff between Virginia and Tennessee at 11 a.m. So stay tuned for that. And we'll see you next week right here on Sports Talk at 9 a.m. And enjoy your Saturday. Go Vols, and we'll see you next week.